Good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning, and so glad you guys are here and online watching and worshiping with us, and thank you for being so faithful. There was a photographer for a national magazine who was called on to take pictures of a massive forest fire in one of the states in our country, and so he tried his best to get as close to the fire as he could to take the pictures, but eventually realized that there's no way that he could get the pictures that he needed. So he called his home office and he said, "Listen, I need to take these pictures. I need you to get me a plane so that I can go up over the fire and take pictures of this tragedy that's taking place, this forest fire." And so sure enough, the office said, "Great, we'll have a plane for you at this airport. Make sure you're there and you can get those pictures." So the man jumps in his car. He begins to travel as fast as he could to the airport. As he drives up to the airport, he runs out and there's a plane that is running there, started next to the runway. So he gets his gear and he runs and jumps onto the plane with all his gear and kind of yells at the pilot, "Go, go, let's go, let's go." And so the guy just goes into the wind and takes off, and the man looks at the pilot and he says, "Okay, so I want you to go over the north side of the fire, pass over as low as you can three or four times." And the pilot looks at him and says, "Why?" And the guy says, "I'm a photographer. That's what a photographer does. He takes pictures and I'm taking pictures of the fire." And the pilot looks at him and goes, "So you're not the instructor?" He's in trouble. As I was thinking about all that we learned through Daniel, talking about this Daniel challenge of and living like Daniel in this culture and this culture shift, I thought it was appropriate today to talk a little bit about the truth about trouble. Because the reality is, like Daniel, we're going to find ourselves in trouble at many times in our life, and we can phrase that in any way that we want: trouble, trials, tribulation, temptations, whatever it may be. We're going to find ourselves there. And what do we do? And so we're going to read this morning a verse out of Romans 8. And you guys know this verse, and we've spoke this verse several times over the last 4 weeks of the Daniel Challenge. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 28, as we talk about how good God is and how He's working. And I just thought it was appropriate today, as we think about maybe the troubles that we may find ourselves in our life, I think it's important to really look and examine this passage so that we can better walk through our troubles. And so again, if you would open up your Bible to Romans chapter 8, we're going to be in verses 28 and 29. And we're going to read that those two verses together and then talk through the meaning of these two verses, and then continue on as we talk about truth in troubles, truth about troubles. What can we learn about trouble that can help encourage us to persevere? All right, so Romans 8, starting in verse 28. If you're able, would you stand as we read God's Word this morning? So this is what God's Word says in Romans 8, starting in verse 28. It says, "And we know that for those who love God and all things love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers." With that, let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the power that's in Your Word. And as always, Holy Spirit, move and work in us and in this place so that we may never be the same. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we take a glance at this passage, I think one of the first things that we begin to think about, and especially as we talk about the truth about trouble, is why are we experiencing trouble? Why do we experience these things? And a lot of times, the question arises, if God loves us, how come He allows these things to happen to me? And that's a common question, and it's a valid question. God's not, God is big enough to handle our questions. So I think He is, He can answer our questions. But that is a common question that we have in our life many times. Because the reality is, as believers, We're not promised an easy life. And so, as a matter of fact, I think it's sometimes opposite. It's a difficult life to live out our faith. And so we will experience trouble at different points in our life. We saw that with Daniel and his buds. They all experienced difficult times through their life. We see it all through Scripture. Our biblical heroes all experiencing trouble, persecution, whatever it looks like, but they experience trouble all through their lives. We see that in Paul experiencing trouble, all the persecution that he went through, and the things that he, from shipwrecks to being in prison to beatings. Listen, he experienced all those things too. And here's what I want to pose to you this morning is, if they did not endure those things, if they did not have to go through those kinds of troubles in their lives, would we remember those people at all? Let's think about that for a second. Would we remember Daniel? Would we remember Paul? Would we remember Job, if not for the troubles that they had gone through? And I think as a believer, I want you to hold on to the truth today that yes, we have trouble in our life, but can I just tell you, God is doing big things in that trouble. And so as we look at Romans chapter 8, this is one of those passages of Scripture that we like to read and talk about that should comfort us and bring some encouragement in difficult times. And rightly so, because what you read is what you get. And sometimes we can twist Scripture to fit certain things, but I want you to know what you read is what you get in Romans 8. So if you're sitting here thinking, you mean God is going to work good in all my trouble? Yes, God is going to work good in all your trouble. Does that mean God is going to work in your standard of good or what you think should happen as good? No, but God is going to work good. And why can I say that, and how can I say that with full confidence? Because God is good. And so I want to look at this passage real quick and then talk about some things that can encourage us as we think about the truth about trouble. And so let's look at this. It says, and I'm reading out of the ESV, so in your translation it may be worded a little different, in a different order, but here's what it says, and we know, listen, I want to just stop there for a second, and we know. There was a confidence as Paul is writing this. And we know. Why? Because they were experiencing persecution. They were experiencing trouble in their life. All of them. Listen, as a believer then, we like to think sometimes that what we're experiencing as Christians in our culture and time today is very unique. But the reality is not. It's not all that unique. It's happened all through time. Those that follow after Jesus experience trouble and trials and tribulation. And so he says, and we know. So I just want to throw this out and just ask at the beginning as we read this, are you confident in God? Do you know, like, without a doubt, that God is good, that He is present, and that He is who He says He is? I think this is something to make real in our life today, if it's not already real. He says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Now, I want you to get your pen out. I want you to underline. I mean, even if it's a different translation, these two, the word and the phrase, it appears in your translation, I'm positive. And I want you to underline, it says, those who love God. Those who love God. And you can underline it and circle it. And then I want you to also underline or circle the word work. Because I think these could be the most important words in this verse. Those who love God and work. And here's why I'm telling you this. Listen, the first thing is this. For those who love God. This idea, this word that is represented here, those who love God, this is something that is active. This is something that is ongoing. And so when we talk about those who love God, this is an active love, an active devotion. So let's just phrase it like this. Those who are obediently following Jesus. Those who are actively loving their Savior. And listen, this should open up our eyes today. And because there's a lot of people in our world today that just look at Jesus almost like a magical genie where they can rub a lamp at any moment and Jesus is going to do what they ask Him to do. And there's no obedience in their life. There's no devotion in their life. They live their life in the world. Listen, this is very clear. It says, for those who love God, not in the past, but consistently today, in this day and time, are loving God. And I ask you the question, do you love God? And it's not just a one-time salvation deal. I'm talking about every day thereafter. Do you love your Savior and you strive to follow after Him? Again, I'm not saying are you perfect, because nobody's perfect. We have our ups and downs. But are you actively devoted in your love to God? Do you love Jesus? This is vital. I think this is vital because it really gets to the core and the heart of us as people. Because if you truly love and you love and you're devoted to Jesus, listen, it changes your perspective for one thing. And you're going to trust Him even in the midst of troubles and trials. If you truly love Him and that is consistently seen in your life as you follow after Him, then the next part of this verse makes total sense. And it says, all things work together for good. You see, there's two parts on this. Sometimes we like to just leave it with God. And listen, God can handle it. Don't get me wrong. He can do all things. But listen, this is a relationship that we have. We love God with all that we have. And we know without a doubt that God is going to work. Look, in our devotion, in our obedience, we trust that our God is faithful as He moves and works in our life. Listen, this is a relationship that is actively involved daily. And I think it's important for us to think through that, because we never know when trouble will come. We never know when persecution may come, or we never know when trials may come our way, but they will come. And so now is the time where we dedicate our lives to the Lord, devote our lives and our love to the Lord as we walk with Him daily, so that when that time comes, we can have full confidence and trust that the one that we love loves us deeply and intimately and is going to work. You see, this is a partnership as we walk together in relationship with one another. It says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Listen, it goes hand in hand to say, I love my Savior, and I'm devoted to my Savior, and I'm obedient to Him, and I'm following after Him. Listen, when we're doing that, how God works, it may not be exactly how we would picture it working. Listen, it's not saying that He's going to take the trouble away from your life. But in the midst of that, God is working in His perfect way. And what we will experience, again, may not be exactly what we would write on paper. But listen, but God knows it's what's best for us. And so when we love and follow Him, our good God works in a way that will bring Him glory. And it says this, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. So I want you to hear these. There's a couple words in here that are kind of alarming for some. I'll be honest with you, very theological, kind of deep words. One is foreknew. One is predestined. So we throw these words out a lot in class and seminary sometimes, and in churches they use this as their soapbox many times. But I want to explain what it means in this verse, and it's important that we understand, because we can all get behind it when we start to begin looking at it from this verse and what is meant in this context especially. We know that God knows us. I hope that you have come to grips with that. You understand that God knows who you are. He knows everything about you. From the beginning of time, He has known who you are, and He knows and understands everything about you. And that should be maybe the first truth that you hold on to as you walk through troubles. Know that God knows you, which means He knows everything that you're going through. And that's very reassuring. So when we see this verse, for those whom He foreknew, listen, that's us. He knows us. And He knows exactly what you're going through today. He knows every struggle that you have. He knows every trial that you experience. He knows all the troubles that you may walk through. Listen, God knows you, and He's known you through all time. God knows you. I hope that's reassuring this morning. But can I tell you what's even more reassuring is this next part. And He says, also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. What does that mean? Well, listen, the same God that knows us, from the beginning of time, He had a great purpose for us. And when it's talking about this predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son, what He's saying is this. This God that knew us before all time, He knows our beginning and our end. This same God has a grand purpose for all of us in the midst of any trial we may go through, in the midst of any troubles that may come our way. The goal and the purpose of all things is to be more like Jesus. Listen, this isn't something that God just all of a sudden said, uh-oh, something's happening to Craig here. Uh-oh, what's gonna happen? Listen, God is never caught off guard. He is never surprised. Why? Because He recognizes the truth that in all trials, in all tribulation, the goal remains the same, and it's to become more like His Son, Jesus. Listen, from the beginning of time, God had a plan for you and me. And that was to be conformed into the likeness of His Son. So that should change how we view our troubles and how we view our tribulation and our trials. And it should change the perspective of our life. And as we walk through things, as difficult as they are, we recognize at the very core of our faith that in this situation, God is shaping us into who He wants us to be. He wants us to be conformed to the image of Jesus. So as we think about trouble and recognize the truth of Scripture, I want to take a moment just to kind of walk through some thoughts. How does this happen, or what does God do in trouble that allows us to be conformed into the image of Jesus? And how does He work through trouble in our life? And I think that's the question that really comes to mind as we talk about difficulties. You know, what good could come out of this, and as God works good for those that are called according to His purpose? Well, there are many good things that come through trials. There are many good things that come through tribulation, especially conforming to Jesus. But I want to just talk about a few things as we talk about these truths that we can hold on to as difficulties come, as storms come your way. What are some things that can keep us going as we put some feet to this and know that there is, God is working in us to create in us this conformity into Jesus. And so I just want to write a few things down as we talk about that. One is this. Troubles can develop our patience. So as we think about God working in our troubles, what does that look like? Well, one is troubles can really develop and create in us this incredible patience in our life. Did I spell that right? I think I'm missing a letter, aren't I? Anyway, all right, that's neither here nor there. All right, I did go to school. I don't know. But listen, James 1 says this. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. That word steadfastness can be translated as patience. It produces patience. Listen, patience is crucial in our faith. Why? Because God works and God moves in a mighty way, but God works perfectly in His timing. And there are many times where Scripture just says, be still, wait on the Lord to work. And that is one of the hardest things for us as people to do. It is so difficult for us to wait for God to work. It's difficult for us to wait for anything in life. We live in this instant culture ever since the microwave oven came. Listen, we live in an instant culture where we want things automatically. But can I tell you, there are times that we are to wait, and patience is key. Matter of fact, we know this, that patience is a fruit of the Spirit as it's developed in our life, as the Holy Spirit moves and works in our life. And so patience is vital in our relationship and vital in how we live out our faith. This idea is, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Listen, it means we're going to have various trials. They're going to come our way. There's not a question of if, it's a question of when, as we walk through those trials. And in those, there is a purpose as it produces this patience in our life and helps us learn and trust in God more and more and more. So, listen, it helps develop patience in our life. I think one of the things about trials, it really truly reveals how much we trust God. I think at the very least, it reveals how much we trust Him. And you guys that have been through persecution or been through tribulation or trials or storms in your life, then at those moments, you learn just how strong your trust is in our Savior. But listen, it develops a patience as we wait on Him to work. Romans 2:7, to those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, He will give eternal life. God will work in your trial as we are patiently waiting for Him. Listen, it develops patience. The greatest example of patience? Jesus. Jesus. Patiently. Carrying a cross. Enduring the shame of a cross. Dying upon the cross. Patiently enduring all that was happening. And so we experience that in our life and we can follow after Him. Troubles can develop our patience. But also, listen, troubles can teach us priorities. Troubles can teach us priorities. I love this. Now, this steps on my toes a little bit. Because at the very least of what we learn in troubles is that it redirects our priority. Many times it opens our eyes to where we spend our time or opens our eyes to what's most important in our life. And can I just tell you, trouble, trials, tribulations, storms, the greatest teacher when it comes to what's important in our life. Psalm 119:67 says this, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Isn't that interesting? That before they had drifted, so that before they were afflicted, they had drifted from the Word, but now in their affliction, in their trial, they are keeping His Word. And can I just say, this is us many times. We recognize just how far off we've gone from God's Word and our devotion whenever we walk through trials of many different kinds. Listen, we recognize the priorities in our life. For instance, listen, Philippians 3:8 says this, indeed I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Listen, for Paul, when he lost all things, he considered them rubbish. All the things that he had thought were so important in his life, he considered them rubbish compared to knowing who Jesus is. You know what? And you think about Paul, he endured trials and tribulations all through his time as a follower. For us as believers, we recognize that the stuff of this world just doesn't mean all that much. Nothing compares to knowing Jesus. And there's no greater time that we learn that than when we're walking through troubles. When we're walking through a storm. Listen, troubles, they recognize that this treasures that we hold on to cannot compare to the treasure that we will have in Jesus. So, Friday, we went to the football game at Hampton, and it was senior day, so that was very emotional. And so for Hayden, we walked, you know, across the field and they announced his name and, you know, and started little tears coming down and all that stuff. But it was interesting and it was a great night. But at one point we're sitting in the stands and it's all, you know, everybody's social distance. So it's just our family and then you move over and there's another family and then two rows up, there's another family. You know, it's just all over. And a girl was taking pictures, photographs for the yearbook at Hampton High School. So she walks up to us And she looks at Hayden and she says, "Hey, do you want your picture taken? You can be on the front cover of the yearbook." And and I could see the fear on all our eyes, like, "Oh God," you know, trying to fix our hair. But so Hayden, he's like, "Yeah, take a picture." And Amy made the comment. She says, "So what would you like for?" And she goes, "Don't worry, we'll just blur you out." That's what she said. "You're gonna blur us out." Man, right then I thought, God, He knows how to humble people right there. That's it. Yeah. And so I recognized that at that moment, I was just a blur. That was great. And, when I think about troubles and trials and tribulations that come our way, listen, one of the ways that we recognize our priorities is that they humble us. Tribulations, trials, storms, we find ourselves humbled because we recognize that it's only God that can get us through. And so we recognize our priority. It's not about us. It's not about what we can attain. It's not about the recognition we may be able to get. Listen, it always comes back to Jesus. And so trials and troubles and temptations, listen, can point us back to Jesus. And if that's the case, then we should be able to say, "Praise God, thank you." In the midst of hardship, we can get a closer look at our Savior and dive deeper into relationship with Him, which leads to the next one. It's this: troubles can lead us to praise. What is something that can happen in our life that is a benefit when we walk through troubles and trials? Listen, it leads to praise, which simply means this. It says, how many times have you been into a hospital or a hospital bed and someone's ill or someone's hurting, and at that moment you recognize that you're there trying to encourage them, but they encourage you more? Have you experienced that? I have. Listen, I'll walk in to pray with somebody, and I'm trying to be the holy preacher coming in there, and I'm like, "Hello, may I pray for you?" You know, those kind of things, and they're like preaching to me, and I'm like, "Praise God, this is like a sermon to me," and it changes me. Listen, when we walk through trials, God begins to move and work in our life as we trust Him, and then your pain becomes a sermon. Your hurt, your trouble, your tribulation becomes praise to God and glory to God as you follow after Him and lean in on Him. Listen, God uses that pain in your life and tribulation to bring Him glory. When He talks about good that happens, listen, God wants good in your life. As Warren Wiersbe says, He wants good for you and He wants glory for Him. And as He does that, you better believe as you trust Him, listen, your hurt and your pain or whatever you may be going through turns into a sermon. It turns into a show of praise to who God is. I'm amazed at the power and strength of the Holy Spirit as He works in us as we walk through tribulation. I had a former student who was diagnosed with cancer at a young age. He was newlywed. They'd only been married for less than a year. And man, every time I'd go see him, he would just change my life. Because he was so confident in God, and he was praising Him in any moment and every opportunity that he had. He recognized that what was happening to him was a way to give glory to God. Listen, that's what we learn during trouble. That troubles may come, and hard times may come, and storms may come our way. But in the midst of that, as God works and moves, it's an opportunity to praise Him. This is what Scripture says in 1 Peter 1, verse 6 through 7. It says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it, is tested by fire." Listen, it says, "may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Listen, our trials and the temptations that we walk through, the hard times turn to praise and glory for Jesus. Psalm 71, verse 14, "But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more." What does God do in the midst of troubles in our life? Listen, He works in such a way that our hurts become a sermon for others to hear. We praise Him in the midst of trial. And the last thing is this: troubles can create ministry possibilities. troubles can create ministry. How does God work in hardship? How does he work his good and perfect will in our lives in the midst of hardship? Well, it creates opportunities for ministry. These possibilities to do incredible ministry to those around you. I can't count how many times that I've had somebody come up to me and that's struggling with an illness, struggling with a hardship, maybe it's a family issue, and they've come to me and they've shared their heart. And I pray with them, and I want to hear and listen and share scripture and those kind of things. But can I just tell you how many times at the end of our conversation that I've said these words? You know who you need to talk to. That's what I always say. You know who you need to talk to. And I'll be thinking of somebody within this body of believers or somebody that I know in the community that has experienced some kind of hurt and pain that is similar to what they're experiencing. And I can with confidence say, listen, God brought them through this. God has strengthened them in this. And I can say without a doubt, you know who you should talk to. You see, that is a ministry opportunity. So whatever you are going through, what troubles may be happening in your life, listen, God is creating opportunities and will create opportunities to use you in ministry to reach other people. Listen, as believers, we are called to carry each other's burdens. We are. We're called to carry each other's burdens and to walk with each other in difficult times. And there's no better way of walking with someone than if you've experienced what they've experienced. And so listen, their troubles can create a ministry opportunity. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." What an incredible passage for Paul to say, listen, we have peace in God in the midst of affliction and hardship. Why? So that we can comfort others with the same peace that God has given us. Listen, that is ministry. And when we walk through troubles and trials, listen, we may ask the question, God, I don't know what's going on. I need you. God, I don't understand. Listen, that is very natural for us. But listen, at the very foundational truth for us is this: God is going to use it. God is not going to waste your pain at all. He's going to use you in ministry to reach other people, to help them in their time of need, to share comfort with them as they're experiencing a lack of peace in their life. God is going to use you. He's not going to waste one bit of the pain that you're experiencing. Listen, troubles are going to come. And I just want to ask you today is, do you recognize how good God is and how He is going to work in the midst of those troubles? And we can read Romans 8 and we can claim it every single day of our life, but do you believe it? Do you believe that our God is good and that as we passionately pursue Him, He is going to work good in our life for His glory? Do you believe that God is who He says He is? It comes all the way back to Romans 8. Listen, God loves you. And today, you can have confidence that the same God that knows you, the same God that has a great purpose for you, is going to work in the midst of your pain. He's going to work in the midst of your trial. And He's going to get glory. He's going to get glory through your life as He molds and shapes you into the image of His Son Jesus. And all the while, you're going to experience His comfort and His peace. Nowhere in Scripture does it talk about us missing out on hardship. And so I hope that you know that today. I hope just because you're going through a trial, or just because you're experiencing a difficult time, or have an illness, I hope you don't think that God is angry at you or that you did something wrong. Now listen, there's consequence of sin. There is. But listen, God loves you. God cares for you. and He desires to work in your life. And in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your hardship, know that God is not done. He's not through with you. He's not through with the situation. God is going to work and move for His glory. Can I just share this with you and say once again that God's invested a lot in you. He's invested a lot in me. He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross, shed His blood for the forgiveness of sin. He's invested. And so don't you think that He wants to work? He wants to do something good in your life, no matter what you're experiencing today. So hold on tight in the midst of trouble. Hold on tight to a good God who's doing a good work in your life, and allow Him to move mightily in all areas. God is not done with you. I come back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 8, that He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Listen, that doesn't mean He's faithful to complete it in just good times and just easy times. He is faithful to complete it in all times, in all areas of your life. So trust in God. Know He is good, and He is working in a good way for us.